We are learning Maseches Yuma, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we are beginning from a brand new Mishnah, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We are continuing the Avodas of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. We had in the last Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol made his second tefillah in a mikvah of the day, and he put on the Big Day Lavan. And now we're going to start the Avodas of Yom Kippurim that were done Big Day Lavan. Those are the Avodas that were done Bifnim, in the Heichel, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the first Avodah is with the Par. He's going to bring a par, and then he's going to have a geirul on two se'irim, which sar should be the chatos. So it'll be a par and a sar, and a par and a sar for a chatos. And then he will bring a kataris also in the kodesh hakadoshim. So first we come to the par. It says in the pasuk, "Bezois yava aron al kodesh be par ben baka lechatos ba'ayel oila." This is the par ben baka lechatos. And it says in the Mishnah, Bala Itzapari comes to his par, Upari Oimed, where was the par standing? It was standing in the place where the Shechita was going to have to be. A par Oimed ben Ulam vel Mizbeach, between the Ulam, which is the front of the Heichal, and the Mizbeach. So the par was standing in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Roishai Ladorim, Roishai, that means the animal was standing from south to north, his head facing the south, but his face was turned towards the west. His face of the behemoth was faced the Heichel. So it means he was standing to the side of Mizbech and the Heichel, and what the was facing, the animal was standing to the south north, but his face was facing towards the west, towards the Marav, towards the Heichel. The coin stands on the east, facing the Heichel. Upon all the Marav, his face is facing the Marav, which is the Heichel. He puts his two hands on this behemoth, and it says, "Please Hashem, avisi peshati chatasi l'panecha. I did a various in front of you. Ani ubesi, me and my family. Ona Hashem, please Hashem, kapino la avoinois. Give me a kapara for my avoinois, for the pesham, for the chatoim. Shavisi v'shavashati v'shachatasu panecha ani ubesi. Kakasim toras Moshe avdecha. Like it says in the Torah, it's all part of the Kohen Gadol's vidui. Ki beyom hazeh yichape aleichem atara eschem kochat eseichem l'fnei Hashem titaru. That's what it says in the pasuk. And when the Yidden heard the Shem HaMafirish, he actually said it three times. It says, Ona Hashem Avisi Peshati. Then it says, Ona Hashem Kapano La'amcho. Then it says in the Pasuk, Ki B'yem HaZeh Yechapa Aleichem Mataris Chem Koch HaZechem Fnei Hashem Titaru. Three times Hashem. And when they heard the Shem Hashem, Behem Oina Achra Baruch Shem Kvoy Malchusoy La'olam Vaad. They were Oina Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusoy Lo'olam Vad, and Kubidid Shtachavah, we'll see later on the Mishnais. Akaponim for every Shem Hashem, they said, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusoy Lo'olam Vad. So we learn in our Mishnah that there's a din vidui on this par. We'll see there'll be another din, there'll be two viduyim on this par. The English word is confession, but confession doesn't have a good sounding. We call it vidui. He does two viduyim, one for him and his family, one for all the kahanim on this par. And the first vidui is done now on this par. Zok the Gemara. Tapalam Vav and Aleph. Man shamat le da'ama bein ulam v'lam mizbeach tzofen. We know that a chatos, which this par is, a chatos, it has to be shechted in the tzofen, in the north side of the azara. There's a din tzofen, the pasuk says that shechita has to be with tzofen, any chatos. Now, if the par is standing between the ulam and the mizbeach, it has to be on the tzofin side of the azara, because if not, it's not going to be a good shechita. And this is the place where they did the shechita. Wherever the vidui, that's the place where they did the shechita. So it must be that the area bein ulam v'lo mizbeach is called tzofin. Now, who is that? Which mandiyama is that? So Gemara says that's Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. It's going to the Tana, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. The Tana went in a brisa. Ezu tzofin. What is called tzofin? When we say you have to shecht the chatos and the oila, you have to be shechted. It has to be shechted in tzofin. What's called? What area is called tzofin? The azara. The Thailand of Brisa. Ezu tzofin. What's called the area that's called tzofin? Mekir shemazbeach tzofini vat koysla azara. Ukenayu komazbeach kulay tzofin. Div Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that tzofin means the mizbeach. We know was a square that was 32 amos by 32 amos. So if you take the north side of the Mizbeach, the 32 Am is there, and you'd go from there until the wall, to the north wall of the Azara, that whole area is called Tzofin. So it's 32 Am is wide by around approximately a little less than 100 Am long, or much less, more like 70, 80 amas long. That's how much this area is. That's the length of the area that's called Safon. So you make a line from the Mizbeach until the wall, a wide 32 amas. That area is called Safon Mizbeach, according to Reis Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, Moisef af ben ulam Mizbeach. He says, not only Keneged, not only across from the Mizbeach to the north wall is called Safon, but also the area, the whole north of the Azara that goes from the Heichel to the Mizbeach, also that whole north area is also called the Safon. Rebbe Moisef af mokum dusis ragli kahanim af mokum dusis ragli Yisrael. We know until the Mizbeach starts, there's 22 amos, 11 amos of the Ezras Yisrael and 11 amos of Ezras Kahanim. Those 22 amos are also called Safon, which means basically the whole north side. If you split the Azara down the middle in half, north and south, the whole north side, according to Rebbe, is kosher for Shechita, not only across from the Mizbeach, but even in the 22 amos before the Mizbeach starts, and the amos afterwards, which is also around 22 amos afterwards, also could be used for Shechita, as long as it's the north side of the Azara. But Aval Mina Chalifos Vilefnim Akol Moedim Shepasol. But everyone agrees, the side, let's say you're facing the Heichel, the Ulam juts out of the Heichel, juts out from the Heichel, 15 Amis on each side, wider than the Heichel. Now, from that 15 Amis until the wall, north side of the Azara, could you do a Shechita there? That called Safon? Everyone agrees that's not called Safon. And behind that as well, behind the Desmond, behind the Ulam walls, also as well, even though it's Safon the Azara, the whole right side of the Ulam and the Heichel, the whole right side is it Safon, it's north of the Azara, but any part there is for sure no good, because you have to be able to see the Mizbeach. And with that area, you can't see the Mizbeach, therefore it's not called Safon. That everyone agrees. But there's a three-way machlokes what's called Safon. So the Gemara says, maybe Lema, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimoni. It sounds like our Mishnah that says you let it put the behema to do vidui, bein ulam v'lemizbeach, and you do the shechita there also. That means that's called Safon. So it's for sure not Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda, because Yehuda holds Safon is only north of the Mizbeach. Here, if you're bein ulam, if you're between the ulam and Mizbeach, you're obviously on the west side of the Mizbeach. So even though you're Safon da'azara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not called Safon. So it must be, it's Rav Eliezer and Rav Shimon who holds that Bein Ulam Velem Mizbeach is called Safon. But the Gemara says, well, it can be Rebbe also. Lema Rav Eliezer, Rav Shimon, Evelei Rebbe. So the Gemara, Phil Tamer Rebbe, but the Rebbe, Hashtag, Rebbe Sivuud HaMaisiv, if Rebbe is being Maisiv, the first 22 Amis, that is Yisrael, that is Kahanim, that's called Safon. So of course, he agrees to Rav Eliezer, Rav Shimon's part is called Safon. Why? Because Rav Eliezer, Rav Shimon at least has a Maila, it's closer to the Heichel, it's more Mekudosh. So Madach, he says that Ezra Yisrael and Ezra Kahanim are called Safon. For sure he'll hold that the area closer to the Heichel is called Safon. Hashtag Reis Ruda Maisiv, Adri Elazar Rav Shimon Loi Maisiv. So it's possible that's also called Safon. So why are you saying that's Dafka Elazar Rav Shimon? It could be even Rebbe. So it's really Akasha. Why are you saying our Mishnah is Elazar Rav Shimon? It could also be Rebbe. So that's what Gemara says, that it really could be Rebbe or Lezer Shimon. For those who have like an art school, they look at the picture of the three shittas, it's colored in gray. That's the area which is softened. So Gemara is asking, Sayalfi Rebbe and Sayalfi Lezer Shimon, between the Ulam Mizbeach is called softened. So why are we saying our Mishnah is Dafka Rebbe Lezer Shimon? So Gemara says, you know why? Because if it will be Rebbe, Nukma Vakula Azara, why don't you let the power be in any place in Azara, including the Ezra Yisrael and Ezra Kahanim? Why don't you put them there? Why don't you put the power over there? So Gemara asks back to you, so why is it better, Elamai, Rav Lezer, Rav Shimoni, but Nukvi Beim Mizbeach LeKaisel? Why don't you put it between the Mizbeach and the Kaisel? So you're saying it can't be Rebbe, because why don't you stand in the Ezra Yisrael and Ezra Kahanim? And if Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon is any better, why are you putting him between Ulam Mizbeach? Put him on the north side of the Mizbeach. Elamai is the Chameimah. So why, Taka, are you putting the Behemoth between the Ulam and Mizbeach? Because the Kohen Gadol is all the Avodah that day. We don't want to make him work too hard. So we want him to be right in front of the Heichel in order, because the halacha was, they brought the Gdam into the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim to Ezrika. We want him to be right there in front of the Ulam when he does the Shechita. So he doesn't have to walk so much with the Dam, with the whole picture of Dam, you don't have to walk so much, and therefore you put him there. Rabbi Nami, Mishum Chosha Kohen Gadol, they wanted to stand there. So the Gemara is coming out, really it could be either Rabbi Lezer Shimon or Rabbi, because they both hold that Bein Ulam V'Lemizbeach is Tzafain. So why did we say that he has to stand? So why does he say he have to stand? But Ulam Mizbech, the Kasher, everywhere else, if you Rebbe, the whole entire north side of Zara's Kasher, and according to Elazar of Shimon, any place north of Mizbech, towards the Heichel, is also Kasher. So why Dafka stand here? Teretz says we want him to be right near the Heichel, so he shouldn't have to carry the dam so far. Now the question is, what was the Havamina that it's Dafka or Elazar of Shimon and not Rebbe? Because they should have put him in Ezra Israel as his Kanim. It's Pasha, the Teretz, the Gemara's comeback. What was the Havamina? So Taisa on top explains that in the Gemara, the Havamina thought that we couldn't put the Vidui and the Shechita in that area because there were a lot of tables around that area and Taboy, so it's harder to stand there. So we understand why we put the Behemah Bein Ulam V'Mizbech. But according to Rebbe, they have more room by the edges of Israel, so why didn't he go over there? Why didn't you stand there? That's what Mara's having, that wasn't Rebbe. But the Mara's Teretz says, no, it's still be Akasha. If your Akasha was that why you put him there, I could ask you, Felix of Shimon, also put him on the north side of the Mizbeach, which is better because that's closer to the Mizbeach. And that's really the Iker Makim Tzafen. So Elamai, the reason why we've been Ulam Mizbeach, because closer to Kohen Gadol, so then if you Rebbe also, it answers why we didn't put the power in the Ezra Sishol, because of Chosho the Kohen Gadol. Sokhti Gemara Vayta, it says in the Mishnah, Roshay Ladarim, Panav Lamayrav. The behemoth was set up in a way that his head was towards the south, and its back, its tail, was towards the north, but his head was facing the Heichel. How can you have your head facing south and the head facing west? How is it possible? It means the animal is standing in a way that the head is facing, the front of the animal is facing south, but you turn the head towards the Heichel. Now, why do you have to face the Heichel? The reason is because it says in the Pasuk, so this then has to be l'fnei Hashem, l'tzad Heichel, that's where you have to face the Heichel. But the kash is, so why don't you just stand up the hema straight, facing straight towards the heichel? It's back towards the mizbeach, and the head towards the heichel. Then you don't have to make his head turn. Well, why don't you just make him straight like that? There's a chash, the behema will excrete some waste, and his piyat abas will be exposed to the mizbeach, and that's not covered for the mizbeach. And therefore, we want his tail and his back to be facing away from the mizbeach, facing the southern wall, the north wall. But we still have to have his head turned towards the heichel. But we don't have him to stand that way, where his tail is facing mizrach, and therefore facing the mizbeach. So that might be marvitz glolim, and that will be a bezayim for the mizbeach. Tanu rabbanon. Keitzad soimech, how do you do smicha? And this Gemara is not talking about dafka on Yom Kippur, it's talking about all year round, all kachay kadashim, which means chatos, and a oila, and a asham. Rashi says, keitzad soimech, kol smicha is kachay kadashim, all karbonah is kachay kadashim, they're doing smicha on, how do you do it? Keitzad soimech. So a zevach oimed v'tzafon, the zevach, the carbon stands in the tzafon, because that's what you have to do the shchita, upon of l'mayriv, and its face is facing the west, and the person is doing smicha oimed b'mizrach upon of the marv, he's standing on in the mizrach in the east, and he's facing the west. So here the bride doesn't say he has to turn itself at all the behemah, because here we're talking about that wasn't ben ulam mizbeach, because there's no chosha kain gadol. Therefore, we place the behemah somewhere on the north side, away from the mizbeach, and therefore there's no chash of marvitz glolim. So you could face the behemah could stand that way, where its face facing the heichel and its back facing the east, which is the shari nikna behind him. He could be facing. Now the soimich also stands by mizrach upon the mayor, but mniach shtei yodav ben shtei karnes shel zevach. He puts his hand between two horns of the carbon. He shouldn't have any chatzitz between his hands and the carbon. If he's bringing a chatas, he's misvada. He says vidui on the avera of the ischayev chatas for. I'll say it was even chal Shabbos. He has that in mind, and he says a vidui on mechil Shabbos. If he's bringing a carbon for asham, he has, you know, say the meila. He was moil and kachem, so he brings the asham. He avin asham. He says vidui on the avera of meila. Val oila, which avera, which smicha? What's the oila kapara for that you're doing smicha for? So it's a machloikas. Val oila. So Rav Yitzi says, Ovin leka chichu apeya. And Rashi's not gurus in Maisa Oni. He's bringing this carbon for the Aveira of lecha chichu apeya, certain matnas aniyim that you're supposed to leave in your field, different tvua for aniyim. Leka means if you make bundles, something left out of the bundles. Chichu, something left behind. Peya, his corners left in the field. Different matnas aniyim. So if he doesn't give this, he has to have a kapara. So the kapara is the oila. Divrei Rav Yosi Aglili. That's Rav Yosi Aglili Shita. Rav Akiva Emer, no, ain oila ba ela al say va either al say mitzvah al say they didn't do. He didn't put on tzitzis. It's al say or tefillin. Va lois al say al say or a lav that's nitik la say. Halacha is a lav and nitik la say. You don't get malchus. Let's say gzeila. If someone steals, he can return it. Therefore, it's a lava nitiglas say. So how does he get a kapara on that? He gets a kapara with an oila. The same thing on asay also. There's no oinish given. But everything that has an oinish, let's say karis or malchus, then you don't bring oila for that. So upon him, oila is brought for asay and aloy says to asay. So it's machlekas over here, Rab Meir and Rab Akiva, what you bring the oila for. According to Rab Yosi Aglili and Rab Akiva. According to Rab Yosi Aglili, it's leka chicha peya. According to Rab Akiva, it's asay and aloy says to asay. Micah Mithu, what's the machlekas? Rav Yirmiya, the lav and top lav of Ambeis, the lav the nevela kumifiki. They're arguing about the lav of nevela, which will be similar to leka shicha peya according to this man the yama. The lav the nevela kumifiki. We keep us of a lav ma'alhu. That's a lav that you get malchus for. Rav Yisrael Sava lav ma'alhu. It's not a lav that you get malchus for. What's the significance of lav the nevela? It says that if someone eats a behemoth that dies without shchita, it's also tira lo soichel kol nevela. Not to eat nevela, but it says in the pasuk, leger asher b'sharecha titnana. You should leave it for the ger. So it sounds like there's a say, leave it for the ger. But this say is not a regular lav anitik lase, because usually a lav anitik lase means you could make up for the lav. You could fix the lav up. Here, once you eat the nevela, there's no way you could fix it up. So what does it mean, leger asher b'sharecha titnana? You should give it to the goy, or give it to the ger, who's a goy. So what does that mean? You should have gave it to the guy before you ate it. So the question is that called a lav anitik lase? So Rabbi Kiva holds a lav ma'ayu, it's a regular lav, because you can't fix up that asay, you ate it already. But Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds, no, lemaisa, it's not doima to the lav of chasima, of lav sachsim sharvadisha, because here there is a asay there. You're right, the asay means that it could have been done before I ate it, but such a type of lav that has a asay built into it, even though it's not a asay that fixes up the lav, it's not doima to lav the chasima, and therefore there's no malchus, and therefore the oil will come and chaper that. And the same goes for the Isra of Leket. It says in the Pasuk, "Veleket ketzircha lo yisalaket." You should not gather the leket. Ella oni ta'azvenu. You should leave it for the oni. So there also, it's a say to leave it for the oni. But on the other hand, there, maybe once you took it already, so how do you make up for it? You already took it. So there also, there's a little better. There could mean ta'azvenu means that you leave it afterwards. But there also you can read, la'oni ta'azvenu means you should have left it before. So it's the same type of idea. So those type of lavin, it's about chloikis, but it's a glida and rekiva, it's a lav ma'al yana. That's the first pshat in the machloikis. That's Rabbi Yirmiya's pshat. Abai amano, the kuli am lav nevela lav ma'al yahave. Everyone agrees, lav nevela is not a lav nitik lase. That's a pasuk, you ate it already, it's too late. That's a lav ma'al yahave. By tazoy, by the case of the oni, by leket, there you could argue. Rabbi Kiva saw a tazoy mikar mashma. Tazoy means you should have left it for the oni originally. Rabbi Yisrael saw a hashta mashma. You could fix it up. Itaka means a regular lavanitik lase. You could fix it up. Leket shechapeh, you could fix it up by leaving it to the oni now. And that's the machloikis. After you gathered it, could you fix it up by leaving it for them? That's the machloikis. So really, everyone holds it has to be a regular lavanitik lase in order to be potter, and therefore you'll need the oila for that. The machloikis is how to read the pasuk of ta'azoy. What does it mean? According to Rabbi Kiva, it means to leave it before it fell down. But once it fell down, it's too late. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he learns, no, that means I can still fix it up by leaving it similar to Geneva, where I can give back the Geneva. Here also I can give it back, and that's the machlekes, why Rabbi Yosi Aglili says the oil is coming for leket shechapeya. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's for other lav anitik lasei, but this is not called lav anitik lasei, because he holds leket shechapeya is a lav ma'alya.